Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Gina Morrow. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. Today, we had the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Jacob Scott, an associate professor at Case Western Reserve University School of Medicine and radiation oncologist at Cleveland Clinic, and also Dr. Javier Torres Roca, a senior member in the Department of Radiation Oncology at Moffitt Cancer Center and professor of oncologic sciences at the University of South Florida Morsani College of Medicine. The two experts discussed a recent paper they were authored on that was published in The Lancet Oncology. Currently, radiation therapy is given as a one-size-fits-all treatment in cancer care. However, an algorithm using the genomic-adjusted radiation dose, or GARD, model has been put forth to personalize the dose of radiation therapy. The model calculated the biological effect a given dose of radiation would have based on a patient's tumor genomics. The pooled retrospective analysis utilized data from 11 published clinical cohorts of 1,615 patients spanning 7 types of solid tumors, including breast cancer, head and neck cancer, non-small cell lung cancer, pancreatic cancer, endometrial cancer, melanoma, and glioma. A total of 1,298 patients were evaluated for overall survival. GARD demonstrated a significant association with time to first recurrence and OS in patients with certain solid tumors who had been treated with radiation therapy. Findings from the interaction test show that the effect of GARD on OS is dependent on the receipt of radiotherapy. The interaction test for GARD and radiotherapy was not significant for time to first recurrence. The results showed that the hazard ratios for GARD as a continuous variable were 0.98 for time to first recurrence and 0.97 for overall survival. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Scott and Torres Roca discussed the research of the pooled analysis and what it means if using genomics to guide radiation dosing decisions affect oncology practice.
What was the rationale to evaluate this type of research?
In 2005, actually, Javier and his team came up with a method to look at, to use tumor genomics in the form of gene expression to try to predict which tumors were radiation sensitive versus which tumors were radiation resistant. And this is something that every radiation oncologist or oncologist knows from their clinical practice. Some patients respond great, some patients don't. And what's been frustrating is that over the years, that information, even though we're all very aware of it, it's just an accepted truth, hasn't been actionable. So we've really just had to make assumptions that everyone's going to respond the same to a radiation treatment and then give treatments based on what's best for the average patient. The problem is the treatment that's best for the average patient isn't very good for most patients, right? Just because if you're treating the average patient, that means almost half the time you're giving more than you should and almost half the time you're giving less than you should. That said, if you're blinded to those differences, the only real option you have is to treat to the average. So in 2005, Javier published a result that showed how to take gene expression and maybe dichotomize patients into good or bad groups. Over the course of the subsequent 15 or 16 years now, I joined the team in 2008 or 9. In the course of those years, we've worked to move that from a dichotomous prediction that tells you good versus bad responders to a more continuous prediction. And that's what we've termed GARD, which is the genomic adjusted radiation dose. And what that really does is take the tumor gene expression profile and the radiation dose given and give you a prediction about how that radiation dose will affect your individual patient. And that's a sliding scale prediction. It's a continuous variable. So, you know, right now, most patients get the same dose and most patients get that over a somewhat protracted course of radiation, 5 or 6 weeks. And we usually give that in something like 2 gray per day. That's our unit of radiation dose. The problem is that some patients respond beautifully to that 2 gray and some patients respond very poorly. So the effect of that 2 gray can be very different from patient to patient. And in particular, we have this concept of biological effects that's written into our textbooks, but we've had to assume again, that's the same from patient to patient. But now with this concept of genomic adjusted radiation dose, we can make a quantitative prediction about how each patient will respond. Maybe you have 2 patients, you give both of them 2 gray, the same radiation dose, but then one of them responds twice as well as the other. And so now we have a quantitative measure or predictive measure of how they will relatively benefit from that radiation dose. And so the real motivation behind this study was to take all the available data in the literature and try to see if this predicted benefit of radiation therapy associated with outcomes of interest clinically.
Essentially, the idea here is that when we prescribe a dose today, we deliver a physical dose of radiation that's measured very accurately at the machine. But then when this dose interacts with the patient, it causes an effect, a biological effect that is very heterogeneous. It's just like everything else in life. Some people diet and lose weight like crazy. Some people diet and don't lose weight. Everybody responds differently to interventions, but we don't know. We only can know what the diet was that we did. And so here, what we're trying to understand is what actually happens in the patient, and the genomic adjusted radiation dose is actually the first metric of the biological effect of radiotherapy. And so what we have found is that, you know, giving the same dose of radiotherapy actually produces very heterogeneous effects on each individual patient.
Can you focus in a little bit more on exactly what types of patients were included in this data set?
What we did is that we identified all patients that were existing in the literature, in public data sets, that had all the information required to calculate GARD. And in order to calculate GARD, we need to know what the RSI, or the radiosensitivity index, which is this metric of radiosensitivity that we developed a few years ago, and that's based on gene expression. So we need gene expression available for the patient. And then we, in order to calculate GARD, we also need to know what dose of radiotherapy the patient received, because essentially the equation that we use includes both the radiosensitivity plus the RT dose that they actually received. And then that gives you an actual GARD, or genomic adjusted radiation dose, for each patient. So we identify all those data sets, and we had a total of 1,615 unique patients across 7 different cancer types that include breast cancer, which is the most common, GBM or glioma, endometrial cancer. There's also lung cancer patients. We also have pancreas, melanoma, cancer patients, and head and neck. It's a wide variety of patients, and we had clinical outcome for all of these patients. For some patients, for many of the patients, we had overall survival. And then for other patients, we only had whether they had recurred or not. And for some patients, we had whether they had recurred distantly or whether they had recurred locally in the area that was irradiated. And so what we did is that we pulled all of the recurrences and we used the event as, you know, as first recurrence, you know, whether they had recurred or not. So that's essentially what we did. And then basically, we performed a pooled Cox analysis where we integrated all the data sets. We determined whether GARD was associated with overall survival or recurrence for these patients. And critically, GARD was treated as a continuous variable. So it's not like we set a cut point, good GARD or bad GARD. We basically use GARD as a continuous variable. And what we found was that in the pooled analysis, the biological effect of radiotherapy as quantified by GARD was associated with both recurrence and with overall survival. But critically, the dose we prescribe is not. So in other words, the biological effect of radiation as quantified by GARD tells you more about what's going to happen to your patient than the actual dose you've delivered out of the machine. And so that's the critical thing, because we're trying to make the argument that this is a better parameter than the physical dose, right? And that we think that the way to move forward in radiation oncology is not, we still need to deliver a physical dose, but that if you understand the biological effect that you're inducing with your physical dose, that you have much more information on what's happening to your patient. Also, we had a negative control, which was we had patients treated without radiation, and we tested whether GARD predicted in patients not treated with radiation. And in order to do this, we had to calculate what we call a sham GARD, where we assumed the patients received radiation, even though they hadn't. So we calculated sham GARD for these patients, and sham GARD did not predict outcome in patients treated, or I should say was not associated with outcome in patients treated without radiation. The last analysis we did is we did an analysis of whether there was an interaction between GARD and whether the patient had received radiation therapy or not. And that was critical because what we wanted to demonstrate was whether GARD was actually predicting the therapeutic benefit of radiotherapy or whether it was just predicting that patients would do well, right, independent of the treatment that they received. And this is one of the beautiful figures where we show there is a very high association between GARD and outcome in patients treated with radiation, but there is no association between GARD and outcome in patients treated without radiation, demonstrating that it's actually predicting the therapeutic benefit of radiotherapy, which is really what you need in order to be able to personalize and individualize radiation treatment.
It sounds like you got a lot of information from this analysis, a lot of really important stuff that you can apply to clinical practice. For maybe the community physician, what would you say are really the most important things on how they can apply these data to their everyday practice?
It's a great question. I think that you know, there's a couple different ways to define levels of evidence. And for biomarkers and studies based on archival tissue, which this is one of, we actually fit or we're at least very close to level one evidence, if not level one evidence here. So this is really a measure that we think is ready to be used in our clinical practice and help us learn how to do a better job in radiation therapy. And some of that's going to be hard because we're going to have to relearn some of the things we do. Because currently we practice based on empirical trials of dose escalation that have been done over the years very well and rigorously showing what the average patient does best with. What we're suggesting is that within safe limits of known safe limits of dose, we think it's time to start playing with this idea of a clinical decision support tool. And so very soon, this will be a test available to any clinician to order, similar to an Oncotype test, which gives you an idea of relative benefit. But I think that the key finding in the paper for clinicians to look at is really in the final figure, which takes this somewhat abstract analysis of relative hazard per unit GARD, where we really show, I think quite strikingly, that for each individual increase in unit GARD, the outcome improves. But that's quite abstract. In figure three, we really try to reset this abstract concept back into the context of individual diseases for absolute benefits. And if you look, we have a nomogram written there, which shows that for each individual unit increase of GARD, what that percent increase of absolute benefit would be for each disease site that we analyzed. The critical thing here to think about is that because each patient responds differently, each patient's GARD changes differently for dose. Some patients, let's say you wanted to get 5 extra units of GARD delivered to your patient, and our nomogram predicts a 20% absolute benefit in survival. That sounds great. 20% is a huge increase in survival. And of course, every clinician would want to give that to their patient. The problem is to get 5 units of GARD increased to a given patient could be very different from one patient to the next. One patient might require a single extra fraction of 2 gray of radiation, which is almost always deliverable in a safe way. And so for that patient, that would be a sort of very easy discussion to have and a very easy decision to make as a clinician. However, other patients who are more radio resistant, getting 5 units extra GARD or 40 or 50 extra, which is going to be completely unsafe, not worth it. The toxicities would strongly outweigh the relative possible benefit changes. And so trying to really think about how plus minuses or trade-offs between toxicity and benefit is going to be a hugely important thing that we're all going to have to learn together as a field. I think we have a pretty strong place to start and a pretty solid footing based on the analysis we've just done. But to be fair, 1,600 patients is a big number, but it's not tens of thousands like we're used to in some other diseases. That said, this is all the patients that have the information we need. And so I think going forward, we're going to have to add to our collective understanding as a field and continue to measure the parameters that we need to continue to learn. And so I think that for the community physician, the answer is that I think we're ready right now. I think we have level one evidence right now to let us adjust our dose within safe limits. I think to start going beyond that, we're probably going to need more information and controlled trials. But we are ready to move forward, I think, right now with clinical decision support tools.
What we are doing here is we're adding a dimension to dose. So we've only considered the physical dimension of dose, and now we have added a biological dimension. And in many ways, that is essentially what happened when we integrated CT into treatment planning, system. So back when I started training, we had basically standard fields that we would use to irradiate patients. Four-field box was a classic one that was used. And then when we developed the systems to integrate anatomy into our treatment planning systems, we realized that we were treating a three-dimensional system that was different for each patient. So not everybody had the same size prostate or the same size bladder, or they didn't have the rectum in exactly the same place, or the nodes were essentially in different areas. And then we adjusted our treatments based on that information. So by adding that new dimension, we had a new tool to optimize how we prescribe radiotherapy. So this is essentially the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. We're adding a dimension or biology that allows us to understand dose much better, right? And that by definition is going to help us optimize dose much better, just in the same way that understanding 3D anatomy helps us understand optimize our fields of radiation much better. And if we were able to do this safely using standard metrics that we already knew, we can do the same thing for this, because we're not saying you eliminate everything that we already know. We're just, to me, I just want to make this available for people to use, right? That to me is really the next step. And of course, we're going to be doing trials in parallel with all that. But I think we're at a point where we just need to get the era of genomics started in radiation oncology. We're 15 years late. It's got to start.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field and recaps from our State of the Science Summits and Institutional Perspectives in Cancer webinars. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and at OncLiveSOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.